Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel with your hosts, Doug and Jamie.
We are back again, and this is the movie podcast where we're talking sequels, and we do it in two parts. The first, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. The second, an interview with an actor or someone involved that made the film worth watching. I really hope you enjoyed last week's interview talking to Mean Gene, George Buza. But before we dive into this week's sequel, I have to introduce you to my partner in the sequel watching journey. Jamie, how you doing?
Good, Doug. How are you doing?
Not too good after watching this movie that we're about to talk about.
This was a tough one, man. This is really tough. This is a tough one.
Yeah, the first two were so good. And let's just tell you guys what it is. Teenage Mutant Turtles, part three. First one was dark. It was so awesome. The fight scenes in that one, there was just so much to it. The second one was more of a kiddie movie, but it was still a lot of fight scenes. You had Vanilla Ice, and then you had this one.
And considering the type of bad guys they have in this movie, I would have expected a lot more fighting. Like, this would have been the perfect movie for them to be fighting. And I think they probably did the least amount of fighting in all three movies in this one right here.
No, totally. You got to think the first two, they had the Foot Clan, which was really comprised of white guys that did Japanese fighting, you know, karate. This one, and I got to, right off the bat, I got to tell you, I thought I put the wrong movie on. Because as soon as the movie started, I had to do like a double take and be like, wait, did I click the right movie? Because it opens up and it says Japan 1603.
Well, you know, and I wrote that down because, I mean, is this movie made for children or adults? Because I'm assuming children, you know, it's a... What child is going to look at that and say, oh, 1603, this is a, you know, back, like, you know, like they would not understand what that means. And they have it on there as if it's like adults are watching this movie, you know?
Oh, I know.
But I think I did the same thing. I looked at it. And I'm like, this budget looks like it's less than the budget in the first movie. Like, usually I would assume, as you know, the franchise, it is a big franchise. It's a big cartoon. It's big toys. You know, it would, the budget would get bigger. Both first two movies did well. This budget looks like it was like a B movie. It was just horrible. I just to say it.
Oh, no, totally. So quick foreshadowing. Next week, our interview is with the suit actor, Matt Hill, who played Raphael. He's a famous voice actor. He's done a ton of voices, you know. And then he actually voiced Raphael, which is kind of funny, a few years later on a Fox animated series. He told me when he signed on to this movie, it was going to be shot in Japan. And he was so stoked. Like, he was so pumped. You'll hear him talk about it. And then they said, you know what? We're going to save a few bucks. We're going to shoot it in Astoria, Oregon. So from living in Oregon, all of that was Oregon. They built all those sets that is built in Oregon to make it look like Japan.
Yeah, when I think of Japan, I think of Oregon right away. You know, if I could find a place that it would resemble that, that's what I would think of, Oregon. You know, a place that has absolutely, you know, I've been to Oregon myself, in Klamath Falls. And there's not a lot out there, but like mountains and, you know, grassland. And I wouldn't think of Japan.
Yeah. Well, I guess the main cities of Japan, but I know like Portland is like sister cities from with some Jap. But no, I totally get it. It would have been so much better if they spent the extra money on it to do that. But so we see the Japanese, we see a little, and the beginning had nothing in it. There was no ending to it. And then it just cuts to the subway. The lair, the turtle's lair. And again, we talked about it, and I feel like we talk about this in so many movies we do. You said it, obviously, it should be for kids. But, dude, what was that theme song?
I know. It was a bad – I mean, you know, again, you have these movies. I'm sure you could have picked a theme song that someone would – you know, people would know, they could relate to. These, like, nothing. I mean, it was cheese. It was cheese ball right off the bat. Oh, yeah. And then what was with their lair anyway? Their lair looked like an antique shop. Like, they had all these like weird things there. Like, I mean, like, did you notice? Like, I mean, like, they had all these like trinkets and like statues and like, are they in the sewers still?
Yeah, they're an abandoned subway station that they found at the end of the second one. But no, you know what's funny? There's like a ton of like dummies, like mannequins just sitting in the background. There was like, I paused it. I counted like two or three like vacuum cleaners just sitting there. So I don't know if they're vacuuming their station, But dude, just the song was so bad. Like you said, this movie came out in 93. There's probably 50 songs we could think of that came out in 1993 that could have been like the hit song that opened up the movie. But it's a movie, a song I've never heard of. Thankfully, yep. Raphael put it out of its misery and threw his weapon through the radio because I could not handle it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that just gives you an idea of how the rest of the movie is going to go, you know?
Yeah. Now, it seemed like you definitely took some shortcuts.
No, 100%. Even, you know, I don't know if you noticed, I mean, I'm sure you did, but the mouth did not fit the voice. Like, the way that the turtles talked, it was almost like a puppet. Like, it looked like a puppet moving, you know, as if you had a sock puppet and you're moving it, you know, the mouth, that's what it looked like. It just, you know, so I'm not surprised they don't have a song that no one knows.
You know, it's funny, and you and I, people probably don't know this because we didn't cover one of the movies yet, but I want to cover a Muppets movie. We're huge Jim Henson fans. This is the first Turtles that was not done by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Oh, really?
So the first two looked awesome. They looked like they were speaking. And I think right around here, I want to play a clip for you guys of when we interviewed Tim Lawrence a while back, and he talks about how the director gave him no time to be able to put Splinter into the right spot because Splinter looked terrible.
I was gonna go there. I was gonna say, and he looked horrible. He looked like an animatronic from Disney World.
Oh, I know.
He did. You know, he had one motion, one expression, and it was horrible.
And the voice was like some white guy again. Come on, he's a Japanese rat. Just come on. Just one time, just get it right. And you noticed who the voice of Donatello was, right?
Yeah, Corey Feldman. And, you know, I did like that fact because I think it was also the same Raphael, the voice.
I think it was the same Raphael. It's definitely the same Donatello in all three. Brian Tocci. What was his name in Revenge of the Nerds? I forget. The Asian guy. Yashi. Yes.
No, but Raphael had the Italian accent in the first one, like the Brooklyn accent, and I think it's the same guy. But I don't think Corey Feldman was in the second one.
He was not. He wanted too much money, and I think that was like the height of his – well, he was famous throughout the entire 80s, but right. I think right around the second one, he wanted too much money. And I read something about in the third one, they were like, we want you to do it, and he's like, all right, how much money? And they said, we can only pay you what you made in the first one. How much do you think he made in the first one?
What year did the first one come out?
1989,
80, 90. For voice work? I mean, I'm going to lowball it, but I probably should highball it. 800,000.
Oh, no way. Dude, it was like $1,800.
Oh, really?
When I read that, I wanted to ask Matt Hill about it, but I didn't want to like insult him because I wanted to be like, I don't know what, I don't want to ask him what he made, but $1,800.
Well, you know what? I mean, was he still, I mean, if he was in the 80s, he was probably still in high school maybe or middle school because I mean, you know, he's, what year did it come out? You said the first one?
First one, 90. They churned three of them out in 3 years.
All right. So he was probably in his 20s. I'm shocked then. Because I mean, he made Goonies already and he made, Stand By Me, and he made all his movies already. So that's cheap.
But you know what's funny? He could probably do it. I know for you and I, we're like, man, they should make more money than that. Like actors, they did the whole thing. The budget for this movie is $21 million. So I don't know what else they spent it on. Maybe the swords or the castles that they built. But in the $1,800, he probably could have done all the voices in 2 or 3 hours. So it's like he made $600 an hour. But no, we'll get on to him later. But so we see April now for the first time. She cut her hair real short. She wears a leather jacket. She looks like the Fonz.
I thought she was annoying. She was horrible.
Oh, I know.
Was not a fan of her at all. You know,
she complained all the time.
Not even that. Nothing fazed her. I mean, you know, she got transported to 400 years ago and like, it really didn't faze her. And she's talking smack to people she's surrounded by 500 swords and she's talking smack to them. You know,
I know. No, that was so ridiculous. I know. And then the first April O'Neil was so much better. And the second and third one, it was her. And she was pretty.
Oh,
pretty
she annoying. Was in the second one?
She was in the second and third. It was a different one than the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
So then she brings all these gifts back. I forgot what she gets everybody. A Raph, like a fedora. She gets Michelangelo, a lampshade.
Yep.
Donatello got
a book.
A book.
One of them got a book. One of them got a book.
Oh, yeah. Leonardo got a book on swords, the history of swords.
Yes.
Damn, what did Donatello get? Something nerdy.
A skirt?
Something.
A skirt? Was it the skirt one? No. Did he get the skirt? What, didn't one of them get like a hula skirt?
Oh, no. He got a hat. Like a Hawaiian-looking lampshade.
Oh, the lampshade. Okay, so that was
Michelangelo, yeah. Sorry, I forgot what Donatello got. Anyway, so she gets this weird lamp for Splinter. And when she asks where he is, Michelangelo says, he's doing rat stuff. the lines in this movie are just so lazy.
What do you think rat stuff is?
Yeah, well, there's the pizza rat eating pizza. I don't know, pooping. I'm not infesting. No, I just think it's so funny in this movie. I feel like they churned out the script really quick and they put in parentheses like rat stuff. And then they were like, dude, we got to make this movie. And they just sent it off. Because there's a lot of lines in this movie.
There's a lot of one-liners throughout the whole movie.
That are so terrible.
Oh, yeah.
So then we cut back to Japan where we see, we were talking about before we started, the Japanese actor. He's the father of the king. He was on Seinfeld. He was in the movie Blind Date. He was in Gung Ho. And I know I said this to you earlier, but I cannot believe they turned Gung Ho into a TV show starring Scott Bakula. Anyway, that scepter that she got him, that weird lamp, it turns on and transports April back to Japan, 1603. Some Japanese guy gets sent back to the Turtle's Lair. Like you said before, how is she not? In so many movies, it's like when people come out of a coma in a movie. They're never like, oh, like, where am I? This, she like was so cool with it. It just made no sense.
And what, you know, what's kind of, I mean, I guess I'm not a, and no, I'm not an expert on time travel.
Okay.
But, yeah, because I figured that would be coming up. But, I mean, in order for it to work, it has to be used the same exact time, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So something that was used 400 years ago has to be used the same time in the future, 400 years later. How does that work? Like, I mean, like, you know, like, I don't understand. You know, like, I mean, that seemed like a little bizarre. Like, the same exact time, same place for the switcheroo.
I know, and especially it's the same. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of questions. Like when it comes to this time travel, there's a lot.
We got to find a time travel expert,
I guess. Yeah, I'm sure we can find one. There's got to be some scientists. But and then we see these white men, and you know what I always say: when there's white guys and there's non-white guys, white guys are up to something. And when they're in Japan, that guy Walker, who acts like a cowboy, who is called Clint Eastwood later in the film.
Yep.
That's one of the lines that we'll go over later that show this movie is more for adults and not children. There's so many references that if I saw this in 7, I wouldn't have gotten most of them.
And 100%. And first of all, I mean, I don't even think he looks like Clint Eastwood at all. I actually thought he looked like the bad guy from like, I think the Patriot or like one of those.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Viggo, from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, yeah.
In the painting.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely not Clint Eastwood. But yeah, I mean, and you're right. When there's that white group, white men group, that's out the outsiders, they're stirred trouble.
I know. He had that henchman. I forget the henchman's name. I have it written down somewhere. That guy, Niles, he was like treating that guy like crap the whole time. And then the creepy guy had a bird in a cage and he was like in love with the whole movie.
They look like, I thought they were pirates. Like the way they were acting, they were acting like pirates. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
They had guns, so they like ruled the land because everybody else had swords. So ridiculous. So April tries to talk to the Japanese king, and this is what's ridiculous. So the first time we saw the Japanese king, he's talking English, okay? And then when he talks to April, he's talking Japanese. And then she goes, I only took Spanish in high school. And we clearly know that he speaks English.
And not only does he speak English, but very clear.
I know.
And actually, everybody there speaks perfect English.
I know.
And even when they come back to the present time, perfect English. And I know they addressed it. I think one of the turtles said, you guys learned a lot in school or something like that. Or no, one of them started talking about the English coming over invading, and that's why they learn English. Now, I work in a business where I deal with people that have come over from another country 20 years ago, and they still have a very strong accent.
Oh, I'm sure.
So you're going to tell me you're going to learn something 400 years ago proper, perfect English that, oh, okay. And if, considering the guy knew, he's talking to her in Japanese, he knew she's, you know, she spoke English. Why was he trying to speak Japanese in the first place?
I know. That's what I didn't understand. It was almost like, for some of the dialogue, they wanted us to understand it, so it wasn't English. But for, it made no sense. Or maybe that guy Walker spoke Japanese, and we just heard it in English. No, it made no sense. No, and I love that her Walkman came on. Trying to think what song it was. I should have wrote it down. It was the, that was the better song.
I was going to say that was a more popular song. I don't remember. There was a kind of a chorus in there because there's, it sounded like four people, a couple people singing. Cause she said drunk four people in there, but it was, I don't remember either.
Next time, just tell me to turn it off.
Yeah. She had such an attitude. And again, she's in this like throne room with about 100 warriors, all with swords, ready to kill her. And she's still talking crap to them. Like at that point, aren't you kind of like, you know, like just doing whatever they want you to do? Like, you know, you she had no fear. You know what it is? She's from New York. And I guess if you could live in New York, you can handle anything.
That is true. She had that attitude. They're like, I think you're a witch. She's like, you know what? I'll shrink you. To that guy Walker. And he's like, yeah, well, kill her. And I'm like, Jesus, what is going on right now? I'd be so scared. I'd be like, I'll do whatever. I don't know where I am right now. I'm really scared.
Yeah.
Jesus. And then we go back, and again, there's so many times in these movies, just Donatello and the computer. I don't think computers could have done that back then. The math was not right. That's not how they work.
And they had a scanner. Somehow they had a scanner back then. I don't think they had scanners like that. No. And he somehow figured out everything about this thing that was 400 years old within, 3 minutes?
I know. It's got to be the only one. So, like, how is there record of it?
And he knew that, we only have 2 days, otherwise we're stuck there. How do you figure that out? Like, there's no way that would be figured out, that he knows that 2 days is going to expire.
It was so precise. He was like, 60 hours, and the weight has to be perfect for them to be able to transfer. How the hell would they know that there's going to be four guys that weigh exactly the same? And spoiler, they don't weigh the same. Those are some skinny, short Japanese guys that come back when they transfer.
Well, considering that the turtles went there, who are massive, and they fit exactly in their clothes, but they come back, what were they wearing, by the way? What, like, that white, like, what was that?
Oh, when the guys came back?
Yeah.
Oh, it's because, remember, Michelangelo was wearing those shorts, and he goes, hey, we switch clothes, so when they come back here, he goes, put some shorts on. So they put on whatever, like, trash clothes they had in the sewer. So when those guys came back, they weren't naked. But yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, what was that? The three of them were wearing the same exact outfit that looked like a an apron or something, like that was tied around, like the white.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I know one of them was wearing like a hockey jersey. Yes,
one of them was, and the other three were wearing that. And they went back. That doesn't make sense. So when you switch clothes supposedly. Yeah. But at the end, when they do go back, they're still wearing that white apron stuff.
Oh yeah.
They ran and hid because they, I guess the emperor saw them. So like. Yeah, that didn't make sense. Why sometimes it changes, sometimes it doesn't?
No, that is true. Yeah, like you said, when the turtles went there, they would have ripped their clothes. Like, they should have showed up and been, like, really shrunk. Like, that would have been funny. Like, that would have worked.
Right.
So, Casey Jones is back. And, dude, he's the best. He was in the second one. That was kind of sad. He was so great in the first one, his fight with Donatello.
Yep.
And we were talking about it, like, you did it during the movie and, like, before we started. Just going back to that fight scene from the first one. Dude, the best is he catches Shredder, that garbage truck, and he's like, oh! And he, like, just crushes him. And that was a kid's movie.
And I think, you know, him being back, you know, he was funny in the first one. He was a badass in the first one. I feel like they didn't use him this one. They used him for more for comic relief, I guess, on a side. But, like, even, like, he didn't really fight at all. And it's I wonder how many years in advance is this movie compared to the first one? He's still walking around with a hockey stick. Like, at this point, you know, he's got these turtles that have all these, like, sharp weapons, and he's still, his weapon of choice is a hockey stick.
I get that. I'm happy he uses a hockey stick.
No, I'm happy he is, and it, obviously it goes towards actually one of the funnier scenes I saw later on when he was trying to teach him how to play hockey.
Yes.
First thing he starts doing is just start fighting.
Because he's like,
that's pretty funny.
Oh my god, that's so great. And then just when they're going back at the same time, you have April, she's like sitting in this big bird cage, and there's this creepy fat Asian guy that's spinning. Again, this is like when she doesn't get it. Maybe this is like what you mentioned, the New York attitude. She gets it for, you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. She offers him a Rolex. Dude, he doesn't know Rolexes, I don't even know how far they go back, but they don't go back to 1603 Japan. Like, he's going to take that? I wish he would have took it, like, ate it.
That would have been funny, yeah.
See? We're rewriting this movie right now.
100%. And the cage, like, is that something, like, they did back then? Because didn't they have, like, a cage like that in The Golden Child also?
Yes,
the
they did.
It was, like, in a bird cage. Like, so, like, is that something they really had back then, is bird cages, you know, for yeah. people? You know, and I know we kind of went forward a little bit, but stupid little scene, but do you remember when Raphael was curling? He was curling weights. Now, these guys are huge. You know, these turtles, it looked like it might have been about 4 pounds. it was a small curl bar with, like, a small, I mean, tiny little place, and he's in there curling, and he's talking to his brothers. Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was totally ridiculous. I don't know.
And I have something that I forgot that when we went, remember when we just talked about them going time travel when they went back? How did they end up on horses? When they went back there, they ended up on horses.
In the middle of a battle, yeah.
Yeah. And when those guys were supposedly guarding the scepter, either like in the castle or like in some other area they were talking about, no. They were just riding horses. Wouldn't the horses have been brought back too if those guys were on the horses with the scepter?
That is true. That is true. Maybe it's a weight limit. Maybe it's, you know, when you're traveling, it's only, you know, it can only take so much.
Yeah.
So yeah. And you had the one, who is it, Donatello? Or the only one I know is Donatello and Raphael. So it had to be one of the other two riding backwards. Like somehow they all are facing the right way, but he gets stuck in the rock. Now, they're ninjas, right? They are ninjas.
Oh, I know.
He can't turn around on the horse. I mean, these turtles are doing flips and fighting and everything else. How about just turning around?
I know. You know? No, that's Michelangelo. He's the worst one out of them. But no, and the best is he gets knocked out and then he gets taken away for, you know, like a whole act of the movie. We don't see him.
So I take offense to the knockout. So, again, these are turtles that have fought so many different things. They tossed around. They throw people around. You're going to tell me he got knocked out with what? What was it, like an oar or something? Like,
yeah.
So she hit him with something, and it knocked him out cold for like a day.
I know.
He didn't wake up until the next day. I don't understand. How does that work? So, like, that's all it takes is the back of the head, and that's it? Because otherwise, they fight, and they get thrown around constantly.
I know. So those Asian guys, so they're hanging out with Casey Jones. And again, just like we talked about with April O'Neil, she was like so okay with being in 4 years in the past. These guys are okay with talking rats because they were just hanging out with him. I know personally, I'd be in shock. When I was sitting down, the chair that I'm sitting in right now, if it started talking to me, dude, I'd be freaked out for a while. I wouldn't be cool after a few minutes.
Well, they did jump. Like they were, but the shock lasted about 3 seconds. Like, you know, so yes, I think, you know, like anybody would be shocked, but like you said, if your chair's talking to you, you're still not going to believe it a week later. You know, these after the initial shock, they're like, all right, let's just hang out. And they were just hanging out with him. You know, I mean, yeah, that was weird.
And Donatello, he says, my Japanese is rusty. Suzuki Kawasaki. So we're about 30 minutes into the movie, give or take. Niles is ordered by Walker to go get the woman. So the turtles are going to meet him down there too. So you're thinking the turtles about to beat him up. Finally, how far in the movie are we? We're going to get our first fight scene? No, they say wet willy time. And they give him wet willies. Dude, they have the biggest fingers in the world.
I was saying the same thing.
There's no way that finger is getting into
there. And they show the ear with the fingers right there. They look like two like sausages going in. Like, yeah, it wasn't going to work. So yeah, I saw that too. And I think they did multiple wet willies. Like, that's something they've done a few times.
There was three wet willies. The third one was self-imposed. He got so nervous, he said, wet willy! He did it to himself, which was so crazy.
Did we meet the Casey Jones' clone?
Yeah, we met him. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know what? Did anything? Nothing came of that, right?
Nothing. Well, no. Yeah, it did. Well, he was a traitor.
No. What I mean is like the fact that it was Casey Jones.
Like, oh, I know. Yeah.
Like I thought that was to be like, oh, it might have been his grandfather, you know, or whatever. Great, you know, like nothing came of that at all. Like, why even have the same actor doing that then? Budget.
That's what I'm thinking. They were super cheap, and they were like, because he's a great actor now. Like,
yeah.
Then he was too, but after that, man, he was in. Trying to think. Oh, he was the bad guy in Fallen with Denzel and John Goodman.
He was?
Yeah, he was the guy in prison, I think. Time is all mine. I'm pretty 100%. I don't know.
Did he have a hockey stick in that scene?
I really hope so. I hope he brought it to the audition. So, 33 minutes in, I wrote it down because I think it was significant. It was finally the first fight scene. And, dude, honestly, there wasn't enough of them, but there was like three or four in this whole movie. They were awesome, man. For them to do this, like Matt Hill, he was just a suit actor for all the moving around scenes. Like, he didn't do any of the fight scenes. There was martial art stuntmen right. in the outfits. But, damn, dude. Those fight scenes are so awesome, and they have some comic relief in them, but there just wasn't enough of it.
Well, you know, that's, I mean, I would say even in the first movie, you know, what do you look forward to in any of these movies? You look forward to the fight scenes because they're very creative. You know, they throw breakdancing and they're spinning on a turtle shell, and they do, you know, like, it's almost like Jackie Chan kind of fights when it comes to the turtles because, you know, they use their, you know, each other. So you look forward to those fight scenes, and that's what you look forward to in the first movie. Here, so you're thinking, all right, it's the third movie. You're looking forward to them, and you know the bits and pieces they gave you were really good, but it just wasn't enough. You're in Japan with ninjas. Like, how is there, like, most of the movie should be fighting. Like, it really should. You know, I feel like it was too much of the white people that were in. Like, it was too much.
Oh, move the mic back.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So. It was too much of the bad white guys of their storyline and not enough of them fighting. I mean, that to me, the question's going to come up. What would make the movie better? That's part of it.
Oh,
way more fighting.
And you know what? To be honest, with the movies like this, like Turtles in Time was a video game right around this time. So maybe that's why they had to choose somewhere to go back in time. So like you said, Japan would have been the best because they could fight. There's real ninjas there. Right. So if they would have went to medieval times, could have been cool, but it would have been like, it's kind of weird. But this could have worked. Even if they had Shredder survive midway through the movie, he takes a scepter, swats with somebody. He goes back there. They have an epic battle, but it's just, even the end was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think they really needed to waste 5 minutes because the scene, when they get stuck in the mud, and they're all like trying to get up and falling down. April's like, oh, let me get up. Let me help you. She falls down. Again, I love these movies. Not this one so much, but it just seemed lazy. It just seemed like they were totally just like just mailing it in.
Well, and don't forget, you know, with all like the silly sound effects of every punch, boing, droo, you know, like everything like that, like, that just adds to the fact that like it makes it even more cheesy. And I think you're right. I think it was like, you know, there's a good franchise. It doesn't matter what we throw together. People are going to watch it. Kids are going to watch it. You know, I'd be curious how much it made.
Made 42.
Okay. So you said the budget was 20 million.
Yeah. 21. So double its budget. So, it would have needed to do, but
yeah, I know
it did do not enough. Guys, listen to the interview with Matt Hill. He tells about some other future projects that were supposed to happen, but they said the movie didn't make enough. I don't know if 21 million is not enough, but so April, again, she doesn't care anything about anybody but herself. She's more concerned with showing her legs than looking for Mikey. She doesn't care. Nobody talks about Mikey for a little bit. Then they finally are looking for her. Then Don and Leo say schwing when they see her legs.
What child's going to understand that? But I mean, it's funny if it's an adult, you know, for adults to understand, you know, where it's coming from. But what child's gonna understand that? They're gonna totally bypass that.
I know.
You know, I think with the references, because I mean, I remember writing one down. Help! I'm a turtle. I can't get up. There was like another scene. Like, you know, they had a lot of these like one-liners. I guess parents are taking these kids there, so they have to have these stupid one-liners to maybe so they can just kind of. It's like a Bugs Bunny. You know, Bugs Bunny had so many one-liners that parents could adjust to that kids couldn't.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help. In fact, it makes it almost worse, I think. Yeah. I feel like it makes the movie worse.
I know, and I think they got little turtle boners. But then, so I'm back in. They're looking for Michelangelo. We get another fight scene. And honestly, the stunts, again, are unreal. These guys have little tiny eye holes to look through. And all the turtle lines are pretty golden. So Raphael's face-to-face with, like, the Japanese girl that knocked Michelangelo out. She says, and he's like you said, these corny one-liners. I don't kiss on the first date. So all these things that kids aren't going to get. And right. I have a whole list of them coming up. That there's even more. So then Michelangelo, we find where he's at. He's in that village. The village is being overrun by all the white guys and their guns. So they have to get down there.
Again, by the way, perfect English for the Japanese woman.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
Perfect. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I feel like later in the movie, she doesn't speak it. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I know. And they adjust it here and there. The only one that actually has an accent is the Yoshi. He has the, you know, which I don't think we met yet.
No, we did not meet Yoshi yet. He's coming up. But yeah, no, that's true. So the first time we see people that are true to their acting and true to their character are the two white army guys that think they have the, I don't know why they thought Michelangelo was a princess or something. That was weird. They thought he was a woman. And then when he opens the door, they see that he's like a turtle. And they get so freaked out and spooked, they run away. And guess what? Wet Willie number two. Niles is looking out. He has the gun pointed at Michelangelo, getting ready to shoot him while Walker has the gun on him. And that's where the Clint Eastwood line is. He calls him Clint Eastwood.
Yep. Yeah. That's, you know, and you know, to go back to what you said, where he was when they thought he was a princess. Now, he was kidnapped, technically, right? He had no idea what was going on. Why didn't he just walk out? I mean, if he just walked out with a door, you know, or, I mean, it wasn't like he was peeping through the hole where the kids were walking by, there were spaces between the wood. He easily could have broke out of there. Like, why wasn't he leaving? Why, if he was kidnapped and he thought he was, he could have just walked right out like he did. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why he stayed in there, too, because there was nobody outside the door. Yeah, you're right. The door was open. It wasn't locked or anything. Yeah.
You know, and again, this is a turtle that got hit in the head by an oar who was, like, knocked out for, like, at least a day.
So, I love that you just said that, because that same turtle went into a burning building to save Yoshi. And then do you remember the line he said when he was coming out?
No.
Another great kid-centric line. Backdraft. Kurt Russell, eat your heart out.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah. And Yoshi's going to die. And I'm thinking this little kid's going to die. And again, just like we talked about the Wet Willie's not working.
Yeah.
Turtles have wide mouths. There's no way he was getting enough air pressure to be able to do CPR on this kid. It's not possible. If he's putting his mouth on him, all this oxygen he's blowing out, it's just blowing out the side of his mouth.
You would think, because they do speak English, he could have instructed a human to say, hey, just put your mouth in there, breathe in. You know, like he could have told them. He could have helped them. You know, like, but instead, he has that turtle. First of all, turtle breath. Can you imagine what turtle breath smells like?
Ugh.
I mean, it's got to be horrendous. You know, I mean, it's really bad. And they are turtles. So, I mean, there's probably germs he's passing through. They're not thinking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Flashback. You just made me think when you said that. When they landed in the mud, I think one of them said, I think I sat on my ancestor.
No, he had a frog.
A frog?
He had a frog in his mouth. Or something like, or no, he squished something like a frog. And he goes, yeah, I hope it wasn't one of my ancestors.
Another great kid-centric joke about making out with someone, yeah. So then the kids have their training montage. Just think Rocky IV. But this time they do it with horses. And it was so just nothing was happening. They were just really just riding on, again, just the cheapness, the laziness. They could have had some badass fight scene again just against some ninjas.
Yep.
But no, just horses going in circles. And Donatello in this movie, his lines, again, this is why I think Feldman probably did it in an hour. I made $1,800. All of his lines started with math stuff. Like one of the lines he says, well, the square root is, and then he just said something. It made no sense.
But the last line that I did write down, though, was when one of the samurai, and this might have been, we already passed it probably, he called one of the samurai Wayne Newton.
Oh, yeah. The guy that was in Gung Ho and
yes. Yeah. You know, wait, that is a funny line, you know. But what child's gonna understand Wade Newton? I know.
And April's real. This is where she's like real bitch because she's not leaving right away. She says, "I better start looking for an apartment here."
It's so annoying.
Just come on, these guys are trying to. Donatello's gonna weld. Have a guy weld a brand new one, which I don't know how that could even work. That made no sense. Like, to think you could just put pieces together and correct. It's a time machine. There has to be something special to go to it, like the flux capacitor. There has to be some kind of special element.
And it's, you know, well, I mean, considering that it, you know, it's very brittle, you know, so I'm sure, it, you know, but the fact that they didn't have the original, right? They were doing it by head, like they were trying to think.
Oh, yeah, by head.
And they thought, so somehow by welding it, putting it together, it's going to have the same time travel abilities.
Of course. That's how it works. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. Again, I'm not an expert, so I don't know.
I know. We have to get an expert on here. No, you just make it look like it. It works. Yeah, that's how everything works. And this is going back to, you talking about the hockey before, where Casey's trying to teach him. The best is when the guys are watching the hockey. They're so jacked up. And he goes, man, these guys are excited. We aren't even in the playoffs yet. There's so many cheesy lines. No, Casey, maybe they're super excited because they're seeing moving pictures on a box. Like, they're looking at a box. For them, it's witchcraft.
Yeah, it is.
They should be even more amazed. Even if a radio turned on or a light, they should kind of freak out.
And he was trying to grab them. Like, the one guy tried to put his hand into the TV. So, yeah. But he's worried about the playoffs.
Yeah. But I love when he's like, okay, we're going to learn how to play hockey. And the last thing they saw on the TV was hockey fights. So they started beating the crap out of each other. And here's all the pop culture lines that I mentioned we talked about. One we didn't. There's Clint Eastwood. There's Kurt Russell. And the one that gets the kids. Oh, the kids all know about this really young stud. Geraldo. There's a Geraldo line in this movie. Raphael's talking to Yoshi. He's like talking about Geraldo Rivera.
Yep. Again, Wayne Newton also. So you know.
And Wayne Newton. Wayne Newton wasn't relevant when Vegas Vacation came out. That was like 3 years later.
You know what? I think Wayne Newton was outside of Vegas Vacation and maybe Naked Gun, I think, 2 or 3. That's the only really relevant, you know, Wayne Newton.
Best of the best part, too. He's all the right. Bad guy in that movie. He owns the underground fighting ring where Sean Penn's brother gets murdered. That's a movie that I want to do on this so bad. I would love to be able to talk to Eric Roberts. He's probably not doing
it. Oh, no. He's got so many he could choose from with Eric Roberts.
Oh, I know. He has a lot of bad sequels. So one thing I did like, I love Raphael. He is too nice in this movie. I like angry Raph.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely the biggest badass out of all of them. You know, he's the one that has those swords, right? The what are they called? The
two, like, I don't know what they're called.
Isn't like like the same thing from Elektra, that Daredevil and Elektra, like, I forget what they're called. But you know what? They didn't use them as they normally do. And like, even fighting, like, they just didn't use them. And they took away Raphael, who's like, he's usually the loner. He's like, he wants to get things done. And yeah, they niced him down.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And just so so everybody knows, I and Jamie are not Japanese martial arts weapons experts. We leave that to professionals. But I do know that Donatello uses a sword. Donatello uses a staff. It's a big stick.
A staff. Then you have nunchucks by one of the other one, right?
Yeah, Michelangelo. So just the other one is like, I don't even know what it looks like. It looks like the letter W, but the middle of the W is really high.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure everybody listening knows what this is. And they're like, you guys are morons. So the white guys are practicing shooting their guns on the beach, like shooting up dummies. And Walker, the badass leader he is, he's painting flowers. He's just painting flowers by all those guys. And then when he finds out where everyone is and the turtles, he shoots a cannon. And the cannon shoots like a machine gun.
It shoots like a shotgun. It's more like a because it spreads out somehow. Yeah. That didn't make sense at all. That was
doesn't take out one dummy with one big ball. It takes out one at a time.
Yeah,
like in a row. So
yeah.
And then Donatello does the impossible, like we mentioned before. He makes a scepter to travel back to New York. And then Mikey and Raph argue over it and drop it down a well. So then you think, oh, it's over. Little Yoshi saves the day. He had the scepter the whole time. And when he, another line that's going to get the kids going, Raph says, when he opens up the package, when Yoshi's like, I have a gift for you, Raphael. He gives it to him. He opens it up. He goes, oh, son of a snapper. That is a line in this movie. I don't know how, but so then we find out they hid the scepter. So the turtles had to stay and fight.
Well, first of all, let's break down son of a snapper. So are they saying because of the turtle, snapping turtle?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, they are saying that. Oh. Oh, man, I'm sitting here thinking it's such a dumb line, but it's genius. All right.
See? Now think about it. That's
score one for the writers of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, because that's actually son of a snapper. I'm thinking he's like, oh, I was thinking like whippersnapper or a fish. Oh, dude, you're right.
Take away, you know, son of a bitch. Now you got son of a snapper.
So a snapper is bitch and turtle. I speak turtle now.
So basically we need a turtle expert, a time machine expert, a time travel expert, and a Japanese sword, weapons expert.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Right. They're out there. There's experts all the time.
Well, now you know a few people you need to interview for the next one.
Yes. So Casey Jones of the past, other Casey Jones in quotations, Wit. His name's Wit. I don't know if, does that have anything to do? Smart, I guess. He was a spy the whole time for Walker. And he takes the scepter and the Asian girl back.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't. Honestly, I didn't.
Honestly, I thought there was going to be some kind of relation to Casey Jones in the future.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because she liked him. She called him Casey right in the beginning. So, why would you say that? And then, he wasn't responding to that. So, it was like, all right, they're planting the seed in the audience's head. They're like, all right, this is going to come back later on. We're gonna see that this is his 100th generation Casey Jones, you know, nothing. And he actually turned out to be a bad guy. And which, by the way, he can't fight either, because when they were escaping, he was hiding. He was getting knocked around left and right. So really served no purpose. But so he was just a thief. He's just a thief, like a thiefy creep.
Yeah. You know what a good ending would have been? I know we talk about this at the end, but I think a good ending to this would have been when everybody's going to go back and do the time travel part. He accidentally gets put in. Maybe the credits start to roll a little bit, and then they show Casey Jones, I don't know, walking somewhere. Then they meet face to face. They're like, "Whoa!" And then end it or something. So he serves some kind of purpose, because he didn't. It served.
If she never mentioned that, then fine. So be it. It's another actor. You know what? I honestly might not even thought of it. I didn't think about it. I didn't see Casey Jones at first. You know, yeah. I saw him. So if she didn't say anything, I wouldn't think. But when she said it and I'm looking at him, I'm like, oh, yeah, he shaved his head. It's Casey Jones. Now they're planting a seed in the audience. They're saying, all right, you know, again, this is going to come back. There's a reason why we're doing this. But there was no reason.
Yeah. So the turtles break in. They break her out. The fight scene's awesome. I love the fight scene that's going on. And then Leo goes one-on-one with Wayne Newton, the guy from Gung Ho. And it could have been a little longer. It's still pretty cool. And then when he gets him, he knocks his sword out, goes into the ground. The guy's getting ready to just get beheaded. And Leo chops off his man bun. Man buns were a thing in Japan in 1603.
Oh, it was status. I mean, that's a big deal. So yeah, so that was a slap in the face. I actually like that, because I was, you know, because these other movies, they don't kill anybody. They beat everybody up. They never kill anybody, and that was a slap in the face. I liked it.
And the other movies, they seem like they kill people. Like Shredder went into a garbage disposal,
right?
So they're attempting to kill him.
Yeah, but almost, I feel like this movie was a little dark also for kids. I mean, seeing Yoshi not breathing.
Oh,
like,
no.
And first of all, that fire was massive. It wasn't it wasn't a regular house fire. That was a massive fire. It's like, I think some kids might've been scared, you know, seeing that, you know, but yeah,
scared.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. And then they trap, Wayne Newton in a giant bell, and Walker tries to shoot Leo. and he ducks into a shell. Then this is when Niles gets so scared, he starts to wet Willie himself, and he runs away.
Well, I think that's the first time, because didn't he say that he didn't realize, he didn't think they were turtles. He thought they were like wearing some kind of.
Yeah.
So I think when the turtle put his head into the shell, that's the first time he realized, oh, maybe they are demons. Like, yeah. Because they thought they were demons the first place, right? Isn't that, you know, or.
That's what they kept calling demons the whole time.
Right. So I think that's, so now he realized, all right, that's what I'm messing with. So,
and yeah. this Walker guy was so tough. He could have escaped. But he was so obsessed with that bird, and there was nothing behind it. I wish they had a reason why. He was just a bird lover. So that's extra weight. He's got to run around. He has to hold this bird cage. So he's trapped, you know, on the edge of the cliff into the Oregon Ocean. And he's standing there, and he throws a scepter into the air, which is so stupid. He could have got it. No matter what, he could have got away. He was hanging on from a rope.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he could have just hung out of the rope, slid down. But no, he has to throw the scepter in the air, stare at it, then attempt to go down, have to come back up because he forgot the bird yet again. And then he gets caught.
Yeah. You know, for someone who really cares about his pet, he's forgot it twice.
I know.
You know, and I remember an old podcast where some people should not be bird owners.
Oh, you know, I know them.
This, you know, he's definitely one of them.
There's a lot of people that shouldn't be bird owners, but yeah, no, definitely. And then past Casey Jones, he does shoot the fiery cannonball. He's the one who lights that.
Yep.
Then he hits Walker. He falls into the ocean. And then for some reason, for some dumb reason, Michelangelo and Raphael have no interest in going back to New York. They want to live there. Don't they realize, again, this is a Turtles movie, right? We're 10 minutes left in the movie. Not one pizza reference yet.
No, there was.
When?
Isn't that where they made that burnt pizza? And it was like hard. It was like, it was really hard. I think Donatello, the one with the orange.
Yeah, Michelangelo.
He made a pizza with the Japanese.
Oh, guy. No way.
It was like remember he made it a Frisbee and then he threw it. He threw the pizza because it was hard. He hit the guy in the back of the head with the Frisbee. It was a pizza. So there was one reference.
Damn it, I was feeding my dog.
Don't forget, the Michelangelo made friends with the little kid and he's like a big brother thing, you know, with Yoshi. And the other, was it him or the other one, I think fell in love with the Japanese woman. Like a lighter. Yeah.
Raphael was the big brother.
Okay, Raphael.
Michelangelo was the one that was
in. Okay, so they felt like their need was to, you know, yeah, I know. It didn't make sense. It was weird. Like, they were willing to leave their brothers, you know, and their father, Shredder. Yeah. Oh, not Shredder, Splinter, to live there. Like, yeah, it didn't make
sense. I know. But no, yeah, I don't remember that pizza.
I can't believe you don't remember the pizza.
Damn it. It's probably like looking over my daughter, probably dropped the bottle and I had to put it back in her mouth. But no, just the fact that there's no pizza there.
I know.
Like, and honestly, did they say cowabunga?
No. They might. I don't think so.
Just the fact that we have to think about it.
Yeah, I know.
Makes no sense because that is their catchphrase.
Oh, that's a trademark. That's it. I mean, that's crazy.
That sells. That puts butts in the seat. So then Casey, I love when they're like, okay, the scepter's going off, and Casey has the guy, Japanese guys, in a dive bar. In New York City, they're drinking and dancing, playing arcade games. They have no interest in leaving. Yeah. See, they're the ones that should want to leave.
Right.
They have all these things at their fingertips. Life is so much easier. And, well, it's a little complicated in the future. But, dude, they are living the dream. They're having the best time ever. So they almost had their opportunity. The time portal opens up. Michelangelo is like, I don't want to leave. She's like, you have to go. I have to be with the other Asian guy. So he's probably like, oh man, dude, like, she doesn't want me. And then he barely is about to touch them. They get back.
Well, you don't know. He misses.
I know.
He actually misses them in the beginning. They show you with the hand out. He's diving for it. And then they escape and he doesn't touch them. So
one Asian guy with them. And then it happens right after that. The scepter goes off again. It takes that Asian guy because he runs away. That Asian guy's like, holy crap, I'm here. He starts running up. They start to chase him. And then Michelangelo comes back down. And then he says, I'm never going to laugh again. Life's too sad. And then Splinter says, it's a quick, I don't know how he put it on that quick, because he's Splinter. He's a really old, slow rat. He puts on the Hawaiian lampshade. He says, yo, dude, I'm like Blue Elvis in Blue Hawaii. What? Elvis in Blue Hawaii.
That's something our grandparents would get, you know?
I didn't get it. I know Elvis, but...
He made a movie called Blue Hawaii.
I can put those together, but... I know.
Hey, well, I mean, let's... Based on Splinter's skills, though, he is like Yoda. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are, you still have the moves, you know. So, but yeah, this is a rough one. This really was.
Wayne Newton, Geraldo, Kurt Russell, Clint Eastwood, and Elvis in Blue Hawaii. Were the writers of this movie in their 50s? Because they did not have any little kid. And again, they dance to another weird song to end the movie.
Yeah.
They like go back to back and then.
Well, again, when you have a low budget, you know, you have to pay for the rights. So they probably figured, you know what? Let's just make one of the actors sing a song. They probably made their own like auto-tuned, you know, music, and that's what they used.
Yeah, that was just I wish they would have tried. Well, that's it for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 3. Jamie, what? First of all, would you have someone watch this movie?
I would not. You know, I there's no need for it. You know, I would say watch the first and second one. I mean, they were good. I mean, and even if you don't want to watch the second one, the first one is classic. I mean, I remember watching it when I was younger. I think it still holds it today. I think there's no need at all to watch this one. In fact, it has nothing to do with the first one. So you don't really need to watch it anyway. But no, absolutely. Don't put yourself through it. You would you recommend it?
I would recommend it. Honestly, if there was more fight scenes, say if there was only like 3 or 4 at most fight scenes, but if there was like a bunch of them, I would be like, hey, skim through this movie, watch the fight scenes, because some are pretty good. Like just watching them fight is awesome. But no, I would not recommend this.
That's again, you know, we always say, you know, what can we do to change it? You know, you can make this a Braveheart. I mean, not violent like that, but you can have battle scenes. I mean, the first scene that when they're on the horses, they're in a battle. Show them in a battle scene. Let them go on the, you know, out there. And, you know, they kind of hinted towards that when they said, oh, well, we need you to stay here to, you know, help protect. Let them do some battle. I mean, that's what the kids are going to be looking for. They're going to look for them fighting, not, you know, having storylines about being a big brother.
I know.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to change. Plus, the budget. I mean, they look cheesy. They, you know, maybe little kids are not going to notice. But when you see the first one and you see this one, it's like a 9-day difference.
No, you're totally right. Just the fact that they didn't use Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they wanted to save money. But I think you definitely just hit the nail on the head. More fight scenes, less storyline. In the first two, it was good versus evil.
Right.
There wasn't like Michelangelo's in love. Raphael wants to be a role model and change up his act and not be mean so he could show Yoshi. Oh, that was a big line too. He's like, hey, Yoshi, watch your temper. And it's like, oh, dude, Raph, I want you fighting Casey Jones in a park, getting stuffed in a stuffing in a garbage can. That's what I want. Like, those are the things that I want. Yep. But no, I guess if I think about it, this movie, because they wanted, they could have done the same movie. Let's be honest. They could have done the same kind of movie, New York City, new bad guy. They could have maybe tried to done Krang or Brain because they were big in the, or they could have done Shredder again.
Right.
But I think they had to do something different. I just think Japan could have worked. Like 100%. We talked about, if they would have done the scepter gets found by maybe Shredder goes in there, rips all those guys up, kidnaps Splinter, goes back into Japan.
Right.
Maybe he rips apart Walker, that white guy, takes over, and then it's like Shredder fight scene.
Well, I think that's part of the problem also is too much April. You know, and so it probably would have worked better if you had, like you said, let Splinter be kidnapped, not April. Leave her back in New York with Casey dealing with the Japanese guys and let them go after. And then, you know what? Let's see Splinter fight again. Like, you know, like that something like that, that would have worked a lot better, I think.
Yeah, because in the first one, Splinter gets kidnapped, and it's like he's getting hit with a whip. He has cuts, and it's like, dude, you're right. If all those things would have happened, this movie would have done so much better. They would have done the other projects that you'll hear about. in the Matt Hill interview, he talks about they wanted to do an ABC series. That would have been guys, when you hear this interview, they talk about how cool this it was going to be, like 20 years in the future, like what the Turtles are doing now, and they're like trying to you'll check it out. And you, out of all the interviews I did, you loved the Matt Hill one.
I thought it was one of the best ones. He's got a great personality, and he's so easy to listen to. And plus, he doesn't he do impressions, or doesn't he do?
Yeah, he was the voice of Ed on Ed, Edd n Eddy. So his voices are so good.
Yeah. I mean, his stories are just so down earth, but like you could totally be like, it's awesome. It's a great interview. It really is.
That's the perfect way to end this. Cowabunga. Well, we said it because it wasn't said enough. Make sure to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Sequels Only and tune in next week. Subscribe so you can make sure you listen to Matt Hill because he was awesome. Thanks again. Good night.
Good night, Cowabunga.